That was terrible. Hi. That's better. Hi, how you doing? Good morning. Thanks for having us. Thanks for listening to Life at 89.3 or online at lifeonline.fm or in Pastor Scott's bedroom and bathroom. I appreciate it. That's great. Can I just give an idea? If you wanted to like spruce up Sunday mornings, I would say you should like throw the cave back up, because that looked really cool, and invest in a couple of smoke machines so that every Sunday, Pastor Wendy could introduce Pastor Scott and he could come up from the cave with all the smoke. Wouldn't that be cool? Just trying to help. How many people from Masters? You guys? You know, that's awesome. Good stuff. You know how I know if you're from Masters? Because you're front and center. That's awesome. When I was a student, I would like sit way in the back. I never sat in the front. And like even the Fleming College students are sitting off to the side, right? But like the Bible College students are right in front. That's good. That's good. I like that. That's good. Not to pick on you guys. That's good. Don't worry. Nick, I'm sorry that he picked on you, man. That's mean. He's a nice guy. But it's a good thing you're going to Bible College. Sorry. I feel bad for Nick, man. I feel bad for you. All right. He's a good guy. All right, well, thanks for having us here. So I'm going to share a little bit about Life 100.3 in a little bit. How many people here listen to Life, just by show of hands? All right, so just in case you don't know about us, we are a Christian radio station. We play Christian music, obviously. Everything we do is Christian. All the DJs are Christian. Our whole message is to spread the message of Christ. That's the whole point of why we exist. We play Newsboys, Third Day, Chris Tomlin, all that sort of fun stuff. Well, at nighttime gets a little bit louder. Sunday is praise and worship. You can tune in anytime, and it's there, and we are glad to be part of it. And it's churches of you guys that help us to do what we do. So I'm going to share a little bit about Life a little bit later on, but first I'm going to bring you a message. And I'm an interactive guy, so you can chat with me, okay? You can feel free to jump out and speak up, okay? So how many billionaires do you think there are in the world? Not millionaires, billionaires. Anybody want to venture a guess? 23, I heard 7. Go way higher. 56, way higher. 109, way higher. All right, like go over 1,000. Go over 1,500. 1,826. 1,826 billionaires in the world. How much are they worth all together if you put them all together? It's a ridiculous amount. 15,000 million. 7.05 trillion dollars is how much they're worth. Who's the richest man in the world? Anyone? Bill Gates. You got it. Bill Gates. $79.2 billion. That's way more than we could ever imagine. So I'm going to try and put that in perspective. Has anyone ever been to the city of Boston? You guys are great. All right, so city of Boston, great city, huge, 114,000 homes. Bill Gates could buy every single home in the entire city of Boston and still have $1 billion left over. Let me tell you about his house, okay? His house took 300 construction workers to build. 100 of them were electricians. It took them 7 years to build it. Cost $63 million. It is now worth $147.5 million. It is 66,000 square feet. So if your house is 2,000 square feet on average, his house is 33 times larger than yours is. The theater is the most state-of-the-art theater in the world. If you don't like the art on the walls, well, he has $80,000 worth of computer screens that the art is displayed on. And then his library of art is worth $150,000 that you can just choose from. You push a button and it switches. Pretty cool, eh? He has an Olympic-sized swimming pool with an underwater music system. You can swim up under a glass wall and come up on a terrace on the outside overlooking everything beautiful. He has a 2,300 square foot hall that can seat up to 150 people for a dinner party. So just that hall alone is bigger than your entire house. This one's crazy. The sand on his beachfront is brought in on a barge from St. Lucia every single year. He has a trampoline room in his house. He has a trampoline room in his house with 20-foot ceilings. He has a special service system that connects everything on the property. So he has this one special tree, and it is being monitored 24 hours a day. And if it is noticed through the monitoring that it is not getting enough water, if the sensors note that, it automatically gets watered on its own. 23-car garage, 24 bathrooms, 6 kitchens. And here's the coolest thing. If you ever get to visit Bill Gates in his house, you'll be asked a series of questions, then you'll be given a pin. And wherever you walk in the house, the music, the temperature, and the lighting will change to exactly how you want it to be. Isn't that crazy? I know. I was there last week. It was amazing. I wish. Just kidding. I'm not picking on Bill Gates. He's a very generous person, right? They started the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They give a ton of money to charity. Very cool. I'm just picking on him because he's the richest man in the world. Here's the thing, though. In the end, Bill Gates is absolutely no different than you and I, right? He has to eat. He has to breathe. He has to go to the bathroom, believe it or not. He'll get sick. He'll get old. He'll eventually die if God doesn't come before then. And even the mighty Bill Gates, with all of his $79.2 billion, and me with the few measly dollars that I have to my name, we're not going to be able to take it with us, right? When it's all said and done, that's it. It's over. Ecclesiastes 3:20, all go to the same place. All come from dust, and to dust all will return. So why do we look at Bill Gates and wish we could have what he has, right? Why do we look at him and think, man, that would be awesome. A trampoline room. That's the one that gets me. He has a room dedicated to trampolines. How cool is that? Why do we look at that stuff and think, man, I'd be so happy to have that stuff. And you know what? Maybe not even like 79.2 billion. Just give me a billion and I'll be fine with a billion. I'd be happy with that. Why do we do that, right? Here's what I think. I think our society is always about wanting, about desiring. Your phone is good, but if it's not an iPhone 7, which was just announced this week, then hey, it's not good enough. If your tube TV works well, that's great, but listen, if it's not a 50 HD, LED, 3D, 4K, I don't know what else is there, ABC, whatever, TV, then it's not good enough, right? And your car might be really good, but is it this good? That's awesome, eh? I could listen to Morpheus sing opera all day. That's great. That's from The Matrix. That's like ripping on The Matrix. Anyway, a very good movie. But it's the last line, right? In the Kia commercial. By the way, does anybody drive a Kia? Is it actually that good? No, I drive a Civic, so I don't know. Anyway, the last line is, challenge the luxury you know, right? So even the luxury you know is not good enough. We're conditioned to always want more. And worse than that, we're conditioned to try and always be more. We're conditioned to think that we are not good enough, that we're not having enough fun. Like if you watch a restaurant commercial, they're always having the most fun and they've ordered everything that they can off the menu and they're laughing. They're not saying anything, but they're laughing. They're having a great time the entire time. They're always having fun and we are not having that much fun and we are not good enough sometimes. And this is another great example of that. Thank you. That's a great campaign by Dove. And I know that we all know about Photoshop, right? But when you actually see it happen right before your eyes, it's pretty amazing to see what they do. So even the model, I mean, a model is usually by definition someone who's quite attractive. Even the model herself was not good enough that they had to get to the point where they had to edit and make it so that it's so perfect that it's unreal. And the standard of perfection is what we are bombarded with all the time. We don't see the model, we see the picture of the enhanced model on the billboards. And that's what we see everywhere, in all of our magazines, on all of our TV commercials, in all of our billboards and whatever it is. We're seeing it constantly, that we are not good enough and that we don't have enough. We're bombarded with this message nonstop. Here's the saddest thing about all this, is that we Christians fall for it all the time. And I'm guilty of it. I'm not going to lie. We forget that everything we have is God's. It's not just that it's ours and we just give 10% back to God. It's actually His, right? And He just kind of gives it on loan to us, or He kind of blesses us with it. But it's actually His to start off with. And then we start to play this comparison game, right? Keeping up with the Joneses. Start to look at everybody else and what they have and kind of want to wish and start to wish that we had what they had. Kind of like we just did with Bill Gates, right? A well-off Christian friend is doing quite well. He told me this once. He said, if you're doing well in life, people often are not happy for you. They're jealous. They're skeptical of how you made your money. They're bitter. They're judgmental of how you spend it. And he said, it's both Christians and non-Christians who think, oh, look at what that person has, or could that money have been put to better use? So you've worked hard all your life for this, and you can't even fully appreciate it because of others. So we often just look at someone who's well-off, and we think, oh, man, I just wish. Or should, you know, they take so many lavish vacations. We don't know what they do with their money outside of that. And we just start to judge and we start to wish, and that's not our place. But we do it all the time. Matthew 16, 24 to 27. And Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels, and then He will reward each person according to what they have done. Did you catch that? That last line there. Not how much they've accumulated, not how much they're worth, not what kind of car they drive, not how much they make, how big their house is, how much they've saved up in the bank, your position, how big your business is, what kind of vacations you take, etc., etc., etc. It's not any of that. It's according to what they've done for the kingdom. That's what matters. That's what counts. And yet we get so caught up in all the other crap. Can I say crap in church on a Sunday? I'm going to say it. And all the other crap. We get caught up in all this other junk. And God wants us over here instead, right? There's a song by Toby Mac that we're about to play right now. We play this on Life. Give it a listen. I'm a husband who stays legit, and I pray that I'm enough. So I know that's a fast song. I hope you got some of that. I heard some people singing along, so that's good. You already know the song. But I hope you caught some of the message in there, right? At the very last prayer at the end, he says, "May your kingdom be what wakes us up and lays us down." Isn't that what we want as Christians? We get so caught up in the world. By the way, I just ripped the video off of YouTube, and there's some images in there that I should have apologized for beforehand. But I don't necessarily agree with that because I think it's somewhat judgmental, the video itself. But I want to share the song with you and say the song itself is great. And there's a few lyrics that we'll point out. Obviously, the main one, "I don't want to gain the whole world and lose my soul." Right? That's what we're talking about this morning. I love when he says, I don't know if you caught this, he said, "The first thing to prosper should be inside of me." I don't know if you caught that line, but I thought that's so great. That's so great, right? Sometimes we want to prosper all the stuff outside of us, right? Like, again, looking at Bill Gates and looking at all the other people that we have around us that are doing so well, and we just wish and want all that stuff. But the first thing that needs to prosper is right here. That's what really matters, right? It's for what you've done for the kingdom and in here that matters. And then when the woman sings and she says, "How do I sense the tide that's rising, desensitizing me from living in the light of eternity?" I think that's just a great line. We just get desensitized from living in the light of eternity. Like, God has so much more planned for us, and we forget about it, and we get desensitized, and we get caught up in this whole world over here and forget that God has all this planned for us instead. So how do we get past living for ourselves and getting caught in these traps of being jealous of others, or we don't have enough, what's even worse, that we're not good enough, and all these traps that we just fall into as Christians? How do we get past all this stuff? Well, obviously, the Bible is a pretty great place to start. So here's what I did when I was preparing this. All I did was I opened up my Bible, and I started looking through passages, and I came across so many that I couldn't even fit them all into the message. So all we're going to do is go through like 7 or 8 Bible verses, and we're not picking one specific passage. We're just going through a bunch, and we're just going to look at them. Jeremiah 29:11, realizing that you can't just take a Bible verse out of context, that there's context for this. So this was written for the people of the time, and this doesn't necessarily apply to all of us, but to realize that God cared for those people at that time. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." A reminder that God cared for those people and he cares for us too, right? If he's going to take care of them, he's going to take care of us. He cares for us. Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight." You trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? Not in the world or anything around us. Romans 8:28, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." In all things, this is one of my favorite Bible verses. In all things, not in some things, but in all things, God is always working all the time. So even when things look terrible, even when everything is falling apart and you look at your life and think, how could this get any worse? And yet somehow, you know that God is working, or hopefully you do, because he is, and he doesn't stop working. And to me, that's just reassuring. Philippians 4:8. I can't stand this Bible verse because I can't live it, so I'm trying. "Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." It's a convicting Bible verse. When we are jealous and thinking of all the others, all the things that everyone else has, when we're craving and wanting and just wishing that we could have had more instead of being content where we are and thanking God for what we have, is that true, noble, right, pure, lovely, or admirable? I'd say no. Philippians 4:11-13. "For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, and I can do all this through him who gives me strength." We all know that last verse, right? We always talk about the last verse. "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." We all take it out of context, but this is what he's talking about. He's talking about being content in every circumstance. And again, when everything is falling apart in your life, and you just wish that things would go right for a change, or wish that something would change, and yet somehow Paul is content. What happened to him, right? He was, what's that, I can't remember the passage, but he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was in jail, he was this, he was that, he was this. I mean, that whole passage is just crazy. Of everything that he went through, so much more than any of us have ever gone through likely, and yet he's content. Okay, that's one more, okay? One more. 1 Corinthians 2:9-10, "What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. I think this is a great verse because obviously it's both in heaven, or it is in heaven, and we know that, and we think of that, and we're like, oh, it's going to be amazing once we get to heaven. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. It's going to be incredible, and that's true. We can't even conceive what it's going to be like in heaven, but I think it's down here on earth, too. I think, what is that? What does that mean? I think it's what the last verse says. These are the things that are revealed to us by his Spirit. God is constantly revealing things to us by his Spirit. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. We're always growing in those, right? Fruit is called fruit for a reason. It's not the gifts of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit because it's constantly growing in you. And God is, the Spirit is constantly revealing this to us and growing this within us. What are these things? Unimaginable peace in the midst of heartache. When, you know, those people you look at in life and they just lost a son or a daughter and then they got this cancer diagnosis and then they lost their house and then this happened and that happened. And you're just like, oh my goodness, how could it get any worse? And then you look at them and they're smiling. And you're like, what? How are you smiling? How is that possible? It's amazing. It's amazing. Wisdom in decision making. You don't know what to do, and God gives you that wisdom, and it's the right choice. Love for the unlovable, that person that you can't stand at work or at school, right? Your classmates or your teacher, because nobody has a Miss Higgins. That person you just can't stand, and nobody wants to be around them because they're so irritating, and yet somehow you are able to love them or to hang out with them or to be with them or to show them Christ's love. Forgiveness for those who hurt us so deeply. And I'm sure a lot of us have been hurt so deeply. And it sucks. It hurts. And yet you have this forgiveness and you're able to move on and move past it. And I'm going to say it again. That peace that just does not make any sense. Because I think that's the cool. To me, that's the coolest one. Because here's why. I think that people notice it. Right? Have you ever had it happen where someone comes up to you and says, something different about you. I don't know what it is, but there's something different. I don't know if this ever happened to you. It happened to me once, and I just thought it was the coolest thing. And I've noticed it with other people where I look at them like, there's something different about that person. Or sometimes you're in a busy crowd or whatever it is, you're in a group of people, and there's one person that just kind of stands out to you, and you kind of think in the back of your mind, I bet that person's a Christian. You know what I'm talking about, right? We've all done that, right? And you go up and you talk to them, you find out they are a Christian. There's something different. There's something different. What is that? These are the things that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has conceived. The things that God has prepared for those who love him. The things that are revealed to us by his Spirit. He has so much more planned for us than we could ever imagine. He wants us to live in this instead of in this. Do you notice that I made this circle a lot bigger than this circle? And yet somehow we're always living in this. Jealousy, wanting, greed, all that sort of stuff. We fall for it all the time. We fall for it all the time. And I'm just as guilty of this as you are. So as I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself because I'm terrible at this. But we just need to get past this. We need to focus on these verses and remember that God wants us here because there's so much more planned. So here's how I see it. We have two choices. We can either keep falling for the commercials, the advertisements, the jealousy, and wanting more, or we can realize that there is a God who has so much more planned and just keep focusing on him instead. And you guys at Masters, you guys are on an awesome path toward that. And just keep on that path, and it's going to be tough, and you're going to get hit all these difficulties and people get in your way, and just keep going. Keep going. That's awesome. And for all of us, it's not just for Bible college or bridal college students. It's for all of us, right? We all need that message. We all need to be reminded of that constantly, that God loves us, that God has so much more planned for us, and he wants us living here instead of here. So let's start doing that, right? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for all the students that have returned, and it's great to see their excitement. We thank you for Northview and what they're doing in their community and the VBS, seeing over 100 kids come and hear the message. That's incredible. We're so glad that happened, Father. We pray for the continued ministry. We pray for ourselves, God. We pray that we would live in your light, in your eternity, live reminded that you have more planned for us. Forgive us for those times where we get jealous, we get caught up in our lives, and always looking at others, help us to remember that you want way more for us. You have way more for us planned, not just in heaven, but here on earth. And help us to live in that instead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so I work at Life 100.3. I should probably talk about the radio station. I work at Life. I'm the morning show host. So if you wake up in the mornings, as Pastor Scott was saying, then you'll hear me and my co-host Todd Gill. And we get things started in the day. It's a Christian radio station. And in Peterborough, you actually listen at 89.3, not at 100.3. When we started the radio station 17 years ago, we never planned for it to expand, but God allowed it to grow and expand into what it is today. And we're so thankful to have repeater stations in Peterborough and Huntsville and Owen Sound, and we broadcast all across central Ontario. And it's an amazing signal that we can just spread the message of Christ. As I said, all the DJs are Christian, all the music is Christian, all the teaching programs, everything we do is to spread the message of Christ. I'm going to show you a video, and then I'll jump up and kind of explain a little bit and wrap it up. But if you listen to Life, you'll see some of the faces that you normally hear, and you'll get kind of a picture of the behind the scenes and what we do a little bit at Life. So go ahead.
Hi, my name is Heather. I'm here because I love Life. It has given me a place to turn to, a place to lift me up. It encouraged me.
this incredible opportunity to share who God is through hip hop.
In the summer of 2016, Life 100.3 presented Rock the Lake in Aurelia.
Millions of people through music all the time, and it's something that God's moving through all the time when we sleep and when we're not even thinking about it. And it's an incredible voice that our generation has and connects with. I mean, support Life 100.3. It's an incredible quality station that's trying to connect the community with the incredible God that we serve.
John 21:17. The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep."
All right, so that's a bit of a snapshot of what we do at Life. We go to between 200 and 300 events per year. So we don't just stay within the walls of the radio station. We try and get outside and go to them. So we do church of events like the Faith Baptist. We did Beth Moore simulcast. We come to the movie tours that we do across Central Ontario. We come here and bring movies here. We brought different movies in the past. And we love doing all that stuff. But we go to non-Christian events too, like the Peterborough X and Wonder Jam and all those sorts of events where we get to be out there and handing out Bibles and talking to people about Christian radio. And they come up to the booth and they hear the music and they say, "Oh, what's this?" And we say, "It's Christian radio." And they say, "Oh, I thought Christian music was all hymns." And we say, "No, actually there's rock and there's rap and there's hip-hop." And we get to play some of that stuff. And they say, "Oh, this sounds pretty good." And we say, "Okay, well, why don't you give it a listen? If you hear listen in the morning, you'll hear me." And then they get to connect a face to a name. And they start to listen a little bit. And we have so many people. We know that there's someone listening right now who's driving around Barrie in Orangeville. And he's listening to Life, and he's not a Christian because he's told us that. But he's listening to Life. How cool is that, right? We know that I've heard this story a ton of times. This is my favorite story to share in churches, that someone is driving, and they hit a pothole, and they were listening to the radio. They hit a pothole, and the radio flipped on its own to Life 100.3. And by the end of, it was a teaching program, by the end of the program, the person had pulled their car over to the side of the road and they were in tears and had given their life to Christ. How cool is that, right? Here's where this story gets even cooler. I shared that story one time and I had someone else come up to me and say, "That same thing happened to me." And then I shared it again and someone else came up to me. And now, if you want the honest truth, I've actually lost count of how many times I've heard that exact same thing happen. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever, ever, ever hit a pothole and your radio flipped on its own? I've never have. And there's a pothole angel in Central Ontario. Potholes are blessings, believe it or not. Anyway, it's amazing just to see what God does, right? Like, we start every day, and we start it in prayer, and we just ask that God would take it and use it. And once it comes out of the speaker, it just does so much more than we could ever imagine. And we literally have binders and binders and binders of stories of what God is doing. People send us their stories of how life is changing their lives for Christ. And I wish I could share them all with you, or at least a few more. We don't have time. If you want more, come to the booth. I'll share more with you. But I have a ton of them, and it's amazing. And it's churches like you guys that help us to do what we do. It's your support. It's your mission support on a monthly basis. We're going to do a love offering in a second. It's donations from you guys that help us to do that. So we thank you. We thank you for support. We appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for partnering with us on movie nights. Thank you for seeing the vision of Life and what we do and just for being part of it with us. So please come visit us at the booth. I'd love to meet you. I'd love to chat with you. And God bless you. You're great. Thank you.